And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 for our message tonight. We've been talking about helps that we have in the Christian race. And I wanted to mention a wonderful source of help we have here in Ephesians chapter number 6. And we'll look at that here this evening. We preached this morning about the commission of God, the commission, the great commission that God has given to us, and how that is a help that we have in the race that God has put us in, because it's a task, it's a job, it's a duty, it's a responsibility He has given to us. And we've been going through these helps on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We talked about the Spirit of God being our helper and the house of God and the Word of God, and then His presence and His power and His provision in our lives, and how He gives us spiritual gifts to use for His honor and His glory and His will for our lives, finding it and doing it to the best of our ability, and then His wisdom that He gives to us when we need wisdom for making decisions. God's wisdom is there for us. And then again this morning about the commission that God has given to us. And so let's be a part of that. Let's make sure we're fulfilling the great commission of reaching people with the gospel and then seeing folks baptized and then discipled. And so I trust the service this morning was a blessing to those that heard it and an encouragement to you as well. But tonight I want to talk about, we could really, I guess, label this two different ways when it comes to the help that we have in the race. We might want to say the protection of God, or as Ephesians chapter 6, it's called the armor of God as well. And so we want to look at the armor of God that's mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 6. And one of the helps that we have in this race is God's protection. And we as Christians, we live with the enemy around us, don't we? And we realize that we battle the enemy in this world that we live in. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're not going to have that battle with our enemy. And so we have a source of protection and strength that we can go to. And I know that God has given us this armor because there is a danger of becoming a spiritual casualty. And so as we're able to put on this armor that God has provided for us, it helps us in the race that we have been entered in. And we're in need of protection because of the enemy that is around us. We need God's protection in our life because we are daily in a battle. The moment you got saved, you not only were put into the race, but you're also in a spiritual battle, aren't you? From the very day you got saved until the day that you leave this earth through death, or maybe perhaps it might be the rapture. Even so, come Lord Jesus, right? So it might be the rapture that takes us out of here, or death. Either way, we have a battle that we are in on a daily basis. And so we need God's protection. And so one of our helpers in the race is the protection that God has for us. And it's listed here in Ephesians chapter 6 as the armor of God. Think about the things that we battle on a daily basis. We battle the world, don't we? And that's the external foe, the foe that is around us. And so we battle the world. And the world wants to distract us from God's will, whether it be the pleasures of this world, the things that this world has to offer. And the Bible does talk about how there's pleasure perhaps in the sins of the world around us for a season. But we'll never be able to find lasting pleasure and happiness in the sin that is around us. And so the world certainly tries to distract us from God's will for our lives, and that's our external foe. But then we also have an internal foe, don't we? We have our flesh, and we battle our flesh, and I think all of us would be honest enough to say we battle it on a daily basis. So this is a daily battle that we face. Again, another reason why we need God's protection, because of the daily battle of our flesh, and that's our internal foe. So we've got that external foe of the devil, and then we have that internal foe of the flesh. And it wants us to satisfy our selfish and our sinful desires. When we got saved, our flesh didn't, did it? And so we know we have that old man, that old nature, the flesh that still wars against us. That battle that's going on. And so it tries to get us to give in to our selfish and our sinful desires. And so we have the battle of the world and the battle of the flesh. These are daily battles that we face. The world around us and then the flesh within us. But then we also face the enemy or the battle on a daily basis of the devil as well. So the world as our external foe and the flesh as our internal foe, but the devil as our infernal foe. And he is out to defeat us and he is out to destroy us. He wants to shipwreck our lives, doesn't he? And the attack that the devil will bring our way is specific. And I say specific because he knows what your weakness is, doesn't he? Your weakness may not be the same as mine. My weakness may not be the same as yours. But the devil, he has that specific attack on us. And it's a direct attack. And he is relentless, isn't he? Trying to get us to shipwreck our lives so that we'll be of no use for the master. He realizes he can't take our soul, but he can remove our influence in this world. It's like Paul said, I don't want to get to the place where I preach to others and then myself become a castaway. I'm sitting on the shelf, so to say. And that's exactly what the devil would desire, wouldn't he? He doesn't want us to be used of the Lord. He wants us to be useless. And so his attack is direct. And his attack is specific. And his attack is relentless. And he's out to defeat us. So after we say all that we just said about the daily battles that we face, aren't you glad, aren't you thankful that God did not leave us when we entered into the Christian race? Knowing the spiritual battles that we would face, aren't you thankful he did not leave us without protection? We have protection that God has given to us, a helper for this race that we are in. And that's where we want to look for a few moments here at Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. And I want us to start by looking at verse number 10. And notice two verses there to begin tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and then down to verse number 11. The Bible says this, finally, my brethren. He gives us some challenges here, doesn't he, in verse number 10. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. A reliance upon God. A knowledge that He did not leave me without protection. I can be strong in the Lord. I can be strong in the power of His might. And then notice what it says in verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The armor of God that's listed here in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to get to the pieces of that armor in just a minute. It's given for the purpose of spiritually arming the child of God. We have been given this armor so that we can spiritually arm ourselves, so that we can protect ourselves to be the Christian that God desires for us to be. This protection that God has given to us is for the purpose of preventing Satan from winning the battles. Notice what it says at the end of verse number 11. We just read it. It says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, he is subtle. Yes, he is crafty. Yes, he has devices that he certainly tries to use to cause us to fail and to displease the Lord. But God says, I've given you this armor for the purpose of protection and preventing Satan from winning the battles. So we do not face the enemy. That's what the Bible's telling us here in verse 10 and verse number 11. We don't face the enemy without support. We have God's help. We do not face the enemy without strength. God gives us strength because he says, put this armor on and you'll find strength to find victory over Satan and winning when it comes to the battles that you face spiritually. And that's exactly how a soldier would go into battle, wouldn't he? We think about ourselves as being Christian soldiers because that's what the Bible says we are, right? We're soldiers of the Lord, aren't we? And so because we've been enlisted into His army, because we are a soldier in the Lord's army, as a Christian it would be no different than a soldier that would go into battle today. What would a soldier do? A soldier would make sure that he had his armor on, wouldn't he? And he would make sure that he had his weapon with him. It would be a very sad day for the soldier if he didn't have himself armed correctly. If he didn't have his weapon there to make sure that he was prepared for whatever he was about to face in battle. We sing a song on the bus about being in the Lord's army. Have you ever heard that one, the children's song, I'm in the Lord's army? You ever heard that one? We have a lot of unique verses we add to that. Oh, we have a lot of fun with that song. I may never, you've heard it, may never march in the infantry. ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly or zoom or the enemy, however you want to say it, but I'm in the Lord's army. And then we say, yes, sir. Hey, it may not be that I'm ever in battle as a soldier in the army or in the armed forces in any way. But God says when you got saved, you became a soldier of the Lord. And so you're in His army, and I love the end of that song, yes, sir. God, whatever you ask me to do and your army, I'll say yes, sir, as a soldier of the Lord. Well, then we got a second verse. You'll have to sing this one with us sometime. I may never take a trip to Mexico, ride a donkey oh so slow. I may never eat a cheesy taco or wear a big sombrero, but I'm in the Lord's army. Si, Señor. You got to get the si, Señor in there. Anybody ever heard that verse? Okay. So then we have to get our southern accent on. And we're standing like a cowboy now. We've got our guns on our hips. And then we're singing, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry. Oh, you guys will like this one. Shoot the artillery. I may never lasso the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. And then a big old yee-haw. Hey, we've been placed in God's army, haven't we? And we're soldiers of the Lord, and He has given us protection. And just like a soldier would go into battle, he makes sure he's armed. He makes sure he's armed himself, hasn't he? He makes sure he has his weapon and he's ready to go. And let's look back, if you would, at verse number 10, because I want you to notice some things that God instructs us with here as Paul writes in the book of Ephesians. Notice in verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look at the first two words here of verse number 11. He says, put on. Now, how often did we at the beginning of this message tell you that we face a spiritual battle? It's daily, isn't it? So what is God asking us to do with this spiritual armor that we have, this invisible armor that God has given to us, invisible but yet needs to be put on every single day? He's asking us to make sure that since the battle is on a daily basis, that the armor has to be put on a daily basis as well. And then here's something unique we want to make sure we notice about verse number 11. Notice what it says at the start. It says, put on. So it's a daily spiritual battle. And so we've got to put the armor on every day. It's God's protection. It's God's helper in this race. But how many pieces of the armor are we to put on? Notice he says, put on the whole armor of God. It's not as if, as a Christian, we pick and choose the pieces of armor that we put on. We put on all of the pieces of armor. And by the way, a soldier wouldn't do that in battle, would he? He wouldn't say, well, today I'll take the helmet and I'll take the shoes, but I'll leave the weapon behind. I'll just pick and choose some pieces of armor. That's not the way the soldier would do it today, and that's not the way that God wants us to do it as a Christian soldier, does He? He says, I've protected you, and so you've got these pieces of armor, and since the spiritual battle is daily, make sure you're putting these pieces on daily and making sure that it's every piece. We could think of the illustration of an individual that would go to work, and they would dress or wear the work attire for whatever employment they are in. If you would think about a doctor, we would understand that a doctor would have his scrubs on, wouldn't he? He's coming to work, and he's dressed in the way that he would be dressed based upon his employment. A lawyer would come with his suit coat on, wouldn't he? And he'd have his nice suit on so that he can stand in the courtroom and he could do what he needs to do because of his line of employment. Think about a soldier and how a soldier's got his uniform on. He's got his weapon with him. The same with a Christian. The Christian, because we're a child of the Lord, we have the armor of God to put on, don't we? And so just like any other person would put on the attire that they would wear for work based upon the place of employment, God says, hey, you're a Christian, and I've got armor for you, and I've got pieces of armor I want you to put on every day in their entirety. And then look, if you would, at verse number 12, because now we're going to notice the battle that we are in. We've seen that we're to put on this armor on a daily basis. It's supposed to be the whole armor. But then notice the battle that we are in. Verse number 12, it says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." What's the Bible telling us there in verse number 12? That God's people are in a spiritual struggle with the forces of evil, aren't we? There's a spiritual struggle. There's a spiritual battle that's going on around us. A great influence, really, in supernatural forces over the earth. Our adversary, the Bible saying here in verse number 13, verse number 12, is not flesh and blood, but it's the devil, isn't it? And he wants to defeat us. He wants to destroy us. We could take you to passages of Scripture that talk to us about the devil being our adversary. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour." We're not wrestling and fighting against each other. We're not fighting against blessed flesh and blood, but we do have the devil as our adversary, the devil as our foe. And again, he wants to defeat us. He wants to destroy us. And so there is a battle that we are in. Just as much as God loves us, Satan hates us, doesn't he? And he wants us to be of no effect for the things of the Lord. So we're going to notice now how God equips us. And we're going to notice how God equips us for the purpose of being victorious. God wants you to be victorious in your Christian life. We talked about this several weeks ago during our Wednesday night Bible study. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be faithful at what you do for Him. He wants you to live a victorious Christian life. How are we able to do that? Well, He equips us to do that. So notice what the Bible says as we go over these pieces of armor to finish off this message. Verse number 13, the Bible says this, "Wherefore take unto you the..." How many pieces of armor does He say again there? He says the whole armor of God, "that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." When a lot around us, when many around us are falling, God says to us as Christians, "I want you to stand. I want you to make sure you can withstand in the evil day." Remember, we are in an evil day. We're fighting the devil, and we're fighting the evil around us. And so He says, "I want you to be able to stand." And there's where He gives us these pieces of armor. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So number one, He talks to us about the belt of truth. Now the belt on a soldier, just like the belt on a Christian soldier, would hold everything in place. We are held in place and prepared for battle that we face spiritually by truth. What does the Bible call this belt? What does He call the girdle? He says it's the, you have your loins girt about with truth. Now, where is truth found? Truth is found in the Bible, isn't it? And so we hold the source that we can go to that has truth in it. So we are able to be held together and prepared for battle by truth. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 8, and verse number 32, it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Bible says it's possible to know truth. In a world where some around us would say, well, is it really possible to know truth? We understand, as we read the Bible, we can know truth. It is possible to know truth. And then the Bible gives us the answer to what is the source of truth. It says in John chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy word." What's the last part of that verse? "Thy word is truth." Sanctify them through the truth of thy word. So God is able to hold us together and prepare us for battle by truth. So we've got to know the truth, and then we've got to live the truth of God's word. So number one, we have the belt of truth as our protection in this spiritual battle that we face. And then notice verse number 14, if you would, the second piece of armor that we have. He says at the end of the verse, "and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Can I say this about the breastplate of righteousness? As a Christian soldier, we need to protect our heart. That's exactly what the breastplate does. The breastplate protects the heart. Now, putting on God's righteousness, because we're to put on every piece of armor, putting on God's righteousness is our personal responsibility. As a Christian, it's our personal responsibility to put on God's righteousness. And we put on His righteousness as we obey His truths. Where do we find His truths from? We just talked about that, didn't we? The belt of truth. Where do we find His truths from? We find His truths from His Word. And so we put on righteousness as we obey His Word and the truths that are found in His Word. The word righteousness, really simply defined, is right living. God wants us to live right, doesn't He? And He gives us the ability to live right, but it's our personal responsibility to live in righteousness. Can I say this about our heart? Because we're talking about protecting our heart. Our heart is very deceitful if it's left to itself. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about that, doesn't it? It says our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart left to itself is very deceitful. And so we must put on the righteousness of God to protect our heart. And the righteousness of God, or right living, the way that God would have us to live, is found in the truths of His Word. So let's make sure that we're going to His Word for the source of truth. And let's make sure we're putting on righteousness. How often? On a daily basis. And then would you look at armor piece number 3, verse number 15, it says this, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, shoes were very important pieces of armor, weren't they? You would protect your heart with the breastplate, and you would make sure you were holding everything together with the belt, but shoes would provide stability. Shoes would provide protection. Shoes would make it where your walking was protected, and there was stability in your walking. A soldier wouldn't want to go to battle without proper footwear, would they? They would want to make sure their shoes were protected. And He talks about making sure our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What message brings peace? The gospel brings peace, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, the one who came to give His life for us is even defined by one of His names as the Prince of Peace. The gospel and the message of the gospel brings peace. And can you attest to the truth that when we have peace in our hearts, it brings stability and it brings protection, doesn't it? The peace that we only find in God's Word. Now, we're thankful that someone shared that peace with us, but we need to at the same time be ready to share the good news with others as well. Make sure our feet with stability and with protection are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that we may be ready to give out the good news to someone else. And then look at what the Bible says in verse number 16, the next piece of armor that we have. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now what's going to happen as you take the shield of faith? Look at the last part of that verse. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, we're learning a lot about the devil tonight, aren't we? Just in this one passage. Because up in verse number 11, the Bible talks to us about the wiles of the devil, his cunning devices. We quoted 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I know we didn't go there, but we quoted there that verse, and that talked about how he's our adversary. He's a roaring lion. He's walking about. He's seeking whom he may devour. And then when we just now read in verse number 16, it talks about how that he has fiery darts that he is shooting at us as Christians. That fiery dart could be a sin that causes failure in your life. Maybe perhaps discouragement, maybe perhaps doubt. Matter of fact, we even gave a list of things that could potentially be hindrances in the race. We preached about those a little bit earlier in the year. Those could be the fiery darts that Satan is sending your way. But the Bible says we have the shield of faith. Faith in God is our shield. Now we have to make sure that we include two words in that little statement. It's not faith alone, it's faith in God. It's not faith alone because faith could have another source that we're trusting. But if the object of our faith or the source of our faith is God, that's where he's talking about this being our shield of faith. And it protects us against the darts that come our way from that enemy that's seeking to destroy us, those fiery darts. Imagine the blessings of just visualizing holding your shield of faith and being able to quench the fiery darts that the devil tries to send your way. So many individuals in the world that we live in today that live in defeat, and they live in doubt, and they live in discouragement because they're not trusting in God. Their faith is not in Him. He's not the one they go to for their source of trust and faith. We were using the hymn in our hymnal, Higher Ground, as a theme song. We've sang it several times throughout the year because of our theme of pressing on. And there's a verse in, I believe it's the second verse of that song, Higher Ground, that we sing. And it talks about exactly what we're talking about here. It says, I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. The next part of it says, for faith. Now remember, we're holding up the shield of faith so that we can protect ourselves against the fiery darts of the wicked one. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Remember the course of that? Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground so that we can have victory over the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that's the shield of faith. But then notice verse number 17. We have another piece of armor. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, the breastplate of righteousness protects the heart. The helmet of salvation protects the head. The heart and the head certainly would be targets that the enemy would go for in battle. Now, what part of the head is the enemy going for today in this spiritual battle? He's going for our mind, isn't he? Our mind is a battlefield in spiritual warfare. The devil realizes that if he can get our mind, he has us, doesn't he? If he can get my thinking to be off, if he can get my mind to set my thinking or my thoughts or my mind on things that are ungodly, things that are unholy, things that are unright, he has us, doesn't he? So what does the helmet of salvation encourage us to do? It encourages us to guard our thinking, just like we would guard our heart, protect our heart, the source that the enemy would certainly target and go for. He wants us to protect our head. He wants us to protect our mind and guard our thinking. And so in this passage of Scripture here in verse number 17, it's making a reference, or it's referring to the assurance or the confidence that we have in our salvation. We have assurance in our salvation, don't we? The helmet of salvation. There are some that have trouble going on for the Lord because the devil wants to cause doubt to creep in. And he realizes that if he can get a Christian to doubt, then he can get a Christian to be discouraged, can he? Because doubt will lead to discouragement. And so the helmet of salvation helps us to guard our thinking. It helps us to give ourselves, from God's word, assurance of our salvation. And then look at verse number 17. I know you know what peace this is. The Bible says the end of verse number 17, and the sword of the Spirit, and then it defines it so that we have no doubt what God is talking about, which is the Word of God. You know, the Bible talks to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 about this book being a sword, doesn't it? I'm going to read that verse to you. You're probably familiar with it, but Hebrews chapter 4 In verse number 12, the Bible says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The sword is the word of God. Not only the written word of God, aren't you privileged that you can read the written word of God, but the word of God that's preached as well. We get to read the word of God on a daily basis on our own, but then we get to come to the house of God, and in a classroom setting, we get to hear the word of God taught, and in a preaching setting, we get to hear the word of God preached. Aren't you thankful that we get to read it, and we get to listen to it, and we get to hear it as well, and then we memorize it. Then we meditate upon it, and then we study it. We apply it to our lives, and we act on the things that we hear. This is an offensive piece of weapon that God has given us. He's protected us with the breastplate and the belt of truth and the shoes that we have and the helmet. But then He gives us this sword that we can use as an offensive weapon. It's more powerful than any weapon Satan has. Satan can hurl his darts at us. Satan can try to bring his devices. But this sword that we hold in our hands, the Word of God, is more powerful than any weapon that Satan could ever bring our way. And then look at verse number 18, if you would, as we close off tonight. It says in verse number 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Notice the first couple words of verse number 18. He says, "Praying always with all prayer." How do we put on these pieces of armor? I believe with all my heart we put them on with prayer. Now, if we're to put on the pieces of armor on a daily basis, and we're to put those pieces of armor on with prayer, then it would be a good thing then on a daily basis to pray, asking God to help you to have these pieces of armor on. And it would be a good thing for you to name every single piece. Lord, help me today to make sure I'm putting on the belt of truth. Lord, help me today to make sure that I've got the breastplate of righteousness on. Lord, help me today to make sure that my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've got my helmet of salvation on. I'm holding that shield of faith, and I've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lord, I'm praying, and I'm asking you to help me in this particular day to make sure I have these pieces of armor on so that I can be the Christian that you desire for me to be. You're very familiar with the hymn, stand up for Jesus. One of the verses in that hymn has the thought that we see here in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about praying and putting on these pieces of armor with prayer. The song says in the middle verses there of stand up for Jesus, it says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Now notice this. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Each piece put on with prayer. It's good to ask God to help us to have the pieces of armor on, but it'd be a good thing for us to name every one of them. God, would you help me individually, one at a time, to have these pieces of armor on? A good thing to start every single day out with as we ask the Lord for His help and His protection throughout the course of a day. We have many helps in the race. One of the helps that we have that's certainly a blessing and an encouragement to us is the protection that we have with the armor of God. Put it on every day. Don't pick and choose pieces. Put it all on. Put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the devil. We can stand against our enemy, the devil and the world and the flesh around us in this spiritual battle that we're facing. Make sure we've got every piece of armor on, because it'll help us to be a Christian of faith and a Christian of truth and a Christian of righteousness, a Christian who's put our faith in the Lord. We've got the Word of God to help us as we go along that daily moment of race, of our Christian race that God has put us on earth to run. Can I ask you some questions as we close by way of application tonight? Are you wearing the armor? Are you wearing the armor? Have you put on the pieces of armor that God has given to you? Is Satan able to target perhaps a weak spot because there's pieces of armor you haven't put on? Is he targeting a weak spot? Or are you putting that armor on? Are you prayerfully putting on your armor each and every day? Think about the pieces of armor. Are you in God's Word? Are you finding the source of truth from God's Word? Do you know God's Word? Are you living God's Word? Are you the witness that you ought to be? Remember, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you the witness that you should be? Are you living by faith? Remember, we got the shield of faith. Are you living by faith? What is your mind and your thoughts thinking on? What are you concentrating on? Is there perhaps a weak spot because your armor isn't wholly and entirely on? Would we pray and ask God tonight, Lord, thank you for your protection. Thank you for this armor that you have given to me. Help me on a daily basis to put it on. Help me to be a Christian of truth and righteousness and faith like we've talked about tonight, a witness for you to reach out to the lost and dying world with the gospel. Let's thank God for his protection, and let's make sure we're putting it on every single day. Keep the armor of God on. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the challenge on a Sunday evening, Lord, to put the pieces of armor on a daily basis.